Externally, they're both sadhana, and externally, the angas are very similar. However, the mood changes because of the spontaneity and the inspiration, rather than emphasis on rules in Raghunatha Bhakti.
Spiritual development. So the shraddha is nothing mental, it's got to do with the soul. The qualification is in the soul, not in the mind. So through this process of bhajana kriya, I forgot sadhu sangha here, by the way. It's shraddha sadhu sangha bhajana kriya. Then anarthana vritti, nishta ruchi asakti bhava prem. These are all stages in me, manifestation of attraction to Krishna in the jiva, in the soul. So, here we have a little table here. This also comes from Madhur Economy, actually. With the different stages, from sadhu to prema. And then Vishnu Chakravarti explains it in terms of attachment to matter, and how that gradually becomes decreased and decreased and decreased. But bhakti actually, the primary focus of bhakti is attachment to Krishna, not detachment from matter. But the two things go on simultaneously. Okay? So the more attraction you have for matter, the less attraction you have for Krishna. In other words, we're doing anupayana Krishna lasilanam, or we're doing favorably for Krishna without any other desire. So the more of that we have, then automatically the less material attraction we must have, because material means for me. And we have anya-abhilashita-sunya. There's no other desire. So when we practice more and more devotional service, then attraction to matter and our own pleasure becomes less and less and less and less. So we can measure in terms of the increase of attraction to Krishna, and consequently the decrease of attraction to matter. So through the different stages, he's gradually marked that out. So we have there in Sraddha, attraction for Krishna is Gandha Matra, which means only a small trace. Gandha means like a little whiff, little fragrance, little trace. As if you smell the jasmine flower from a little bit of the fragrance from 20 feet away. A little bit of something is there. So the attraction to Krishna is like that. It's just a little trace in faith. Achantika means extreme. This is in the other case we had extreme. Achantiki, the eradication of anarthas was extreme, the zero. So this is for matter, the attraction is a lot. Achantiki, almost 100%. And let's say there's 0.1% attraction to Krishna. So it's 99.9% attraction for matter, 1% for Krishna. So the Gandha Matra for Krishna, Achantiki for matter. And then due to sadhu sangha, we get a little bit stronger fragrance. The faith increases due to sadhu sangha. And when we start practicing, then it becomes a little more solid, a little bit concrete. It's not just temporary. It's a more solid attraction to Krishna. And consequently, the attraction to matter is still very strong, but a little less. So it's called purna at that stage. Maybe 98%. Well, it means perfect or full. And it means extreme in the case. So when we first start with Shraddha, there's extreme absorption of matter. When we get to the sadhusanga and then bhajana kriya, it is not extreme, but pretty full. It's still pretty full attraction to matter. And in anarthana vritti, then the matter attraction, obviously we're getting less attraction because anarthana vritti is taking place. So it's prayaki, almost full still. And by nishta, is bahudesha vartani. It's still there in many places in nishta, the attraction to matter. Vartani. Bahudesha vartani. Many places. It's there in many places. Attraction to matter. But again, attraction to Krishna is also similar. It's equal. Nishta. And in Ruchi, there is decreased to a little bit of attraction to matter. Yeah, they're going in opposite directions. Yeah? And they meet in the middle in Nishta. And for attraction to Krishna's Prayaki, almost complete. And when you get asakti, then it is a ganda matter. Little traces left in asakti. And for Krishna, it is purna. And when you reach bhava, attraction to Krishna is, we can say, complete. And it's ganda matra. It's a little trace of material attraction. And in prema, it is nothing at all. And in attraction to Krishna is parama chantiki, extremely extreme. Yeah, as I said, because we have that, there's the influence of aparada is a little bit there. Huh? And that one little influence of aparada was there. That was in the previous one. Just like if you have a if this is full, it is 100% full of liquid. And if it is like this, then there is, let's say, 20% air. And if we got here, it's 50% air. If we have it here, it's 80% air. If it's here, it's 100%. So if we got one in there, it's less of the other automatically. So similarly for this, if you got more attraction for Krishna, you have less attraction for matter. They're opposites. Huh? Yeah, so then your material attraction decreases. With the intention of pleasing Krishna and only Krishna. That is the important point in the devotional service. If you just do the action without that intention, then it has some effect because it's related to Krishna, but it's a slower effect. Huh? Whatever we're doing Uttama Bhakti, then we have that intention based on the faith. We have that intention. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it to please Krishna, just to please Krishna. Huh? So that helps to bring one into more attraction for Krishna. The soul begins to develop more. By practicing in this way, using our senses and body, the soul begins to, this is all happening in the soul. The soul begins to develop more and more attraction to Krishna and gives up its desire to enjoy independently. The last column just shows how one can concentrate on Krishna, the stages of concentration on Krishna. So therefore, in Sadhu Sangha and Bhajana Kriya, temporary, we can concentrate a little bit, not much. Yeah? And through Narata Nivritti, still material things are coming up. And by Ruchi, one can concentrate a long time. And in Asakti, very, very deep concentration on Krishna. And in Bhava, the Lord actually manifests Himself. And in Prema, it's direct, direct association in Krishna's Leela. Yeah. He also gives like an, he traces the order one after the other. And then all at once, all the senses get affected, spiritual senses, by Krishna's form, quality, etc. And his sense of smell, taste, and all the five different senses and sense objects spiritually get stimulated, and then all at once they get stimulated by Krishna. So Rupa Goswami concludes this little section, very little section, the Nectar Devotion, by saying that the activities cannot be understood. That's one on prema. An ordinary person cannot understand the activities of a person on prema. Cannot understand. Even if he knows scripture, he cannot understand that person. He's completely...
He's transcendental to all the rules and regulations and everything. Okay. So that covers everything, actually. Any question on that? In the Nectar Devotion, and the actual book is, looks a little longer. This is just like an outline. It has the main principles in it. It becomes longer because of all the quotations which are given. So each of these points is supported by quotations from different shastras, like Padma Purana or Bhagavatam, etc., Skanda Purana, etc., to give examples of everything to show that he's not concocting anything. However, the different shastras are not so analytical as this. So this work actually classifies the different types of bhakti and the stages of bhakti very analytically. And that's not done in most of the shastras. They'll just give examples and stuff like that, and they'll tell stories, etc. But they won't analyze it like this. So this book is very good because it carries out a very thorough analysis of the different types of bhakti, the stages, definitions, etc. for us.
How does one from the beginning stages of Shraddha and going through the different stages, I understand that devotees should be in their own position or their own level of advancement than others?
Yeah.
So how do they, is there external symptoms or what would be one way of missing
one's own? Of the different, of one's own?
Yeah.
Oh.
And
Well, partly by this, because we've got the different stages here, and then we got attraction to Krishna, attraction to material energy. By doing that, we can see where our mind is. Examine it that way.
Is there any way to do it for other people?
The Madhyam Arikari, his advantage is that he distinguishes between the different types of devotees, and therefore he deals with them properly. So you can distinguish the Uttam from the Madhyam from the Kanishtha. And he preaches to the, and gives guidance to the Kanishtas. He associates in a friendly way with the Madhyamas, and he serves the Uttamas. So he must distinguish to some degree. So details we may not be so good at, but we should at least distinguish upper, superior, equal, and lower. So that we can do by, again, by this method, we can see how people are absorbed in Krishna, or how they're absorbed in material energy, and judge that way. So Prabhupada says in one place in the Bhagavad Gita, in relation to the, I think the verse, how does a man, a sthiti pragya walk, how does he act, etc. So then Prabhupada says, one who's always talking about Krishna, he's advanced. So the more one talks about Krishna, the more Krishna, then we say he's more advanced. Of course, now we have two Madhyam Adhikaris, We have the other one, Madhyam Adhikari in Sadhana Bhakti, who was faithful but didn't know Shastra. And then we had the Uttam Adhikari, who knows Shastra very deeply and has deep faith and convinces others. So that Uttam Adhikari would probably come in the Nishta and above. And the Madhyamas and Kanishtha would be much lower than that. Kanishtha probably at the very beginning, and then the Madhyama in between that. In the Bhagavatam definition, the Kanishtha only sees the Lord in the temple, doesn't associate with devotees. So at best, he would be somewhere in the, up to Sadhusanga, because he doesn't associate. So if at all, it's very weak. So maybe at the very beginning of Sadhusanga or something like that, that would be Kanishtha. And then the Madhyam would be after that stage, Vajna Kriya and Arjuna Vritti, Nishta. Yeah. And Uttama is usually put at Bhava and Prema. So Madhyama would last, let's say, through the later stages of Sadhu Sangha up to Asakti. That would be the Madhyama Adhikari. Yeah. 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 That's the primary characteristic. All others will naturally follow because Subhadha should take place. Huh? The second quality of bhakti. Huh? A good quality should manifest. Huh? So the main quality is surrender to Krishna. Huh? And if that takes place, then the other things should manifest eventually. What do you mean outside of? I suppose so. Religious people in general. We have to see if they're like if they have more attraction for God and less attraction for material energy. It should go in the same way. Yeah. And if even if they're advanced people are not up to any level of this, then it's not a real religion. Because real religion means loving God. Yeah? So if they don't sacrifice themselves for the interest of God, then it's not a real religion. So we will find that, like Karma Kanda, is less than this. It doesn't. There's no faith in Krishna or God at all. No sense of sacrifice to God at all for one's giving up one's own interest for God's interest. It doesn't take place in Karma Kanda. So therefore, it's below this. And even in Gyan Kanda, liberation, there's no sense of giving up for Krishna's interest. There's giving up, but not for Krishna's interest. So that's also below this. It's not even at the beginning of this. It's much less. Some taste? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that's like Baba Bas. One gets a trace, suddenly some very good inspiration for a little while and then disappears in the beginning stage. So one gets some Krishna's mercy, that can happen to give one some impetus. Just like Narada Muni, he also actually got a darshan of the Lord before he was ready, and that was in order to give him more taste.
One more thing here.
It's not in. Any questions on any of this so far? Okay. So, after this, you need another piece of paper. I think more paper? Oh, there's no more paper? Oh, okay, turn it over. I think it's already written on. Oh, that one's okay. So this actually is just a little bit of word on the second part of the nectar of devotion. That is the explanation of rasa in general. Because the book started out with the verse Akhila Rasa Mrita Murti, that Krishna is the embodiment of all rasa. And the book is called Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, all about ocean of rasa. Yeah? But so far, actually, it's hardly being used, except in the definition to distinguish Krishna from Vishnu. Anyone know that definition? What's the difference between Krishna and Vishnu? No, there's a particular definition given here. Or, either way. Rasa not krishyate, rasa siti. So the difference is the difference in rasa. But we don't see the word mentioned in other places so much in this first part of the book. You know? He doesn't mention, he's talking about bhava, prema, just that. But he doesn't really mention the rasa so much. Huh? But yet, the difference between Krishna and Vishnu is in terms of the rasa. Huh? So what is that rasa? And the Krishna is Akhila Rasa Mrita Murti, which distinguishes him from all others because he has all the
rasas in full, manifested. So actually, yes, rasa manifests in prema. It begins in bhava, the elements appear in bhava, but it manifests fully in prema. So there's different elements of rasa, or ingredients. Just like to make halava, we need ingredients. So for rasa, we need ingredients also. So this is also, we can understand from the material point of view in terms of material relationship. We also have rasa in the material world. And that taste is based upon a relationship again, between a person and some object, or another person. So, and then there's different ingredients that bring about that relationship. And the experience of bliss. So, these have been analyzed, the different factors have been analyzed that make up rasa, the different constituents or ingredients of rasa. So the main element is called the sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava. Sthayi means permanent. So the permanent emotion. Actually, in the very first day, he mentioned something about sthayi bhava also, in relation to bhava rupa bhakti. So there was sthayi bhava, there's one element of anusilanam. We had two types of anusilanam, chesta rupa and bhava rupa. And in bhava rupa, we had the sthayi bhava and sanchari bhavas as types of anusilanam. So sthayi bhava is very important. This is what manifests in bhava. As I said, there were five types of bhava: santa, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya, or shringara bhava. So that's a sthayi bhava. It's not rasa. It's part of rasa. But it has the same name as the rasa. So we get the sthayi bhava, santa, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. Five types, primary ones. So these, the primary ones are the sthayi bhavas. So this is, let's say, the main relationship, emotional relationship with the object of affection. And in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is the object. And we have these different relationships of neutrality and servitude, friendship, parenthood, or lover. So these are the sthayi bhavas. So that's the main relation, principal relationship. Okay. Now there may be little mixtures coming up after, but the main one is this. So that's very, very important. And when one reaches bhava, then this begins to manifest in relation to Krishna.
Permanent emotions are classified into five types of
sthayi bhavas, yeah. Yeah. And they first manifest in bhava stage. And they mix with the other elements in prema and great rasa. Yeah.
So the sthayi bhava won't be completely developed in bhava. So before we can have a relationship, our sthayi bhava, we have to have people,
conscious entities. So generally we're dealing with people to people, so therefore we need, this is called the vibhava. Vibhava means prerequisites for relationship, prerequisites, vibhava.
So there's two prerequisites. One is the alambana, which basically means the props. So there is the asraya and the vishaya, the subject and the object. The person experiencing and the object of love. Asraya and vishaya. So in conjugal rasa, from the gopis' point of view, the gopis are the asraya and Krishna is the vishaya. But if we're taking from Krishna's point of view, then he's the asraya and the gopis are the vishaya. So it works both ways. But usually we take it from the point of view of the devotee. That's the asraya. Yeah, it means shelter. Of the sentiment, the sthayi bhavas. Yeah? They're manifesting the sthayi bhava in relation to Krishna, the Vishaya. Well, shelter means that they are the container of the container of the love or the sthayi bhava directed towards the Vishaya Krishna. So therefore, in a relationship of love or hate or anything, you need a person experiencing it, and there's a person, an object that we're directing that emotion to. Yeah? So that's the vishaya, we direct it towards it, and the person who's experiencing it is the asraya. Yeah? And then, udipan means stimulus. Yeah? So, in the vishaya, or related to the vishaya, there's certain things which will invoke the bhava, like beauty, the form of Krishna, the color of Krishna, peacock feather, his flute, the sound of his ankle bells, his footprints on the ground. These are all impetuses to excite the emotions. That's called udipana. So actually in the Nectar of Devotions, the whole list of Krishna's qualities, that's all udipana. Krishna's qualities are all stimuluses for love, so it mentions all the 64 qualities there of Krishna. His age is a stimulus. So for the Vatsalya Rasa, his baby age is a stimulus. For the Sakya Rasa, his five-year-old age is a stimulus. And for the gopis, his eight-year-old form is a stimulus. And for Dvaraka is above that 15-year-old, child 15-year-old, etc. So age is a stimulus also. His ornaments are a stimulus. The sound of his voice is a stimulus. His words are a stimulus. The glance of his eye is a stimulus. So we'll often see when the gopis are in separation from Krishna, then they'll start talking about Krishna in terms of the different stimuli. He glanced like this, or his voice was like this, his words were like this, his beauty was like this, his smile was like this. So these were all stimuluses for their love, udipana. So therefore, to establish a sthayi bhava, you need subject, object, and various stimuli. And then the sthayi bhava manifests.
Follow.
So what this means is one has established a sthayi bhava, and then one will express one's love by various actions, which involve a little bit of thinking, a conscious involvement. And there are some general anubhavas and then particular ones for each rasa. So for instance, the anubhavas for the cowherd boys is playing with Krishna,
fighting with Krishna, joking with Krishna, stealing food. These are anubhavas. The things which they do as a result of their sthayi bhava of friendliness. Yeah? And that increases that mood of friendliness. Yeah? The anubhavas for, who can think of some anubhavas of Vatsalya Rasa? Bathing Krishna, feeding Krishna, what else? Chastising him. Cooking food for him, whatever. Feeding him milk. Yeah? Putting him to sleep. Yeah. Yeah, these are all anubhavas, called anubhavas. So each rasa has its particular, or sthayi bhava has its particular anubhavas. Plus there's some general ones like singing and dancing, whatever, out of joy. Yeah, so they involve a little bit of conscious activity. So they're, let's say, expressions, conscious expressions of the emotion, sthayi bhava. If a person had love, but they didn't express it in any way, then the love would not develop, and the other person also not know about it. So by expressing it with the anubhavas, then the other person also appreciates that love. So when Mother Yasoda bathes Krishna or feeds him, then Krishna feels she loves me. She loves him. Oh, this is, well, the only ones in the spiritual world like that that can show love are the trees and things like that, which are rather passive, but they bow down by lowering their branches and giving the fruits and flowers to Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. Trembling or exuding honey. The sap comes out as honey and they give that to Krishna also. So they're rather limited in what they can do. So anyway, anubhavas are there as expressions of love to increase that love. Then we have
sattvic anubhavas. These anubhavas, actually, we have the anchesta rupa bhakti, the active bhakti, anasilana. Anubhavas are included as anchesta rupa bhakti, active. But these are on the level of perfection, not on the sadhana level. So we have sattvic anubhavas. These are translated existential ecstasies.
Existential ecstasies, which is rather difficult to comprehend, but it's a literal translation, because sattva means existence. So existential ecstasies. Bhava means ecstasy. So, but what it means is that these are symptoms of love which come from a very deep level and which are uncontrollable. They just appear like that. You don't consciously think of acting like that out of love, right? They just appear. It's explained that due to the interaction of the different elements of the body, earth, water, air, fire, ether, they act in different ways, and you begin to exhibit these symptoms in the body. And that is crying, shivering, change of color, choking of the voice, fainting, standing of hair on end. So there's 8 symptoms like that. So these are automatic. You don't think about them at all. They just happen. So for instance, when Krishna is attacked by Putana or something, the mother sort of begins to faint. She doesn't think about it. She does it. She faints. Or when the gopis are separated from Krishna, they start crying. And they don't intend to cry or anything. Just tears start coming out of their eyes. Oh yeah, these are the ones that are imitated by the people doing Bhava Bhas or Ratya Bhas.
I have this feeling that it's
Yeah. Well, in the material world, yes, they are obstacles and what's. But again, they're also symptoms in the material world. Also, automatic symptoms appear in extreme states, which you cannot control, either in love or in disaster. Eh? You get automatic symptoms appearing. Eh? So, in the same way, in the spiritual world, in relation to Krishna's love, these things will automatically appear. Eh? They may feel like obstacles or whatever. Well, in the spiritual world, nothing is uncomfortable. It's all part of bliss. In the material world, definitely it's uncomfortable. If you faint, then you become unconscious. But in the spiritual world, everything is a little different. So these are uncontrollable symptoms of love. Oh yeah, he has extreme sentiments. Yeah, because he either his limbs separated, or his limbs went into his body, or he would perspire with blood coming out of his pores, also like this, or his tears would come out like syringes. They would shoot out of his eyes like syringes. Yeah. So that's extreme. That's the state of Mahabhava, a very very extreme state. Very, very elevated souls. Radharani and very, very elevated gopis generally experience that. Very elevated state. So sattvika bhavas are like that, but not so intense as mahabhava. That's an extreme state. The last one is called vyabhachari bhavas. These are temporary bhavas. They also are uncontrollable, but they're not so deep as the sattvika bhavas. They're explained to be like little ripples in the ocean, little waves in the ocean. So they're little symptoms. There are 33 of these categorized. They're like lamentation, joy, paralysis, etc. So they temporarily appear and then they'll disappear again. In bhava and more in prema. So when we combine all of these things together, then we get rasa. All these things combine. The relationship of Krishna with the devotee in a particular relationship of dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. And then one expresses that in different ways, and then one gets also automatic symptoms, very deep symptoms, and temporary symptoms altogether. So that constitutes rasa. So in any description of Krishna and the devotees, there'll be these elements somewhere. So sometimes it'll be sattvika bhavas, sometimes vyabhachari bhavas, sometimes anubhavas are operating. But there'll always be some of those things operating. And through that, then we get a full manifestation of love. Prabhupada uses the word mellow. It literally can say taste. But then it doesn't really, because that's a very general word, like aswad is taste. But rasa also means taste. Yeah? But I don't know what word they use in the scholars use for rasa in terms of that, because it's also used by mundane scholars also, because they also have this theory of rasa and material dramas and stuff. Rasa. Spiritual experience, maybe we can say. Yeah, it means juice also. Yeah. The joyful experience of relationship with Krishna is called rasa. The full manifestation of joyful relationship with Krishna is called rasa. No. Because bhava begins a direct relationship with Krishna. The sai bhava is established at that point. So before that, no sai bhava. Yeah. But it's not rasa. So that's the, because the soul is getting closer to Krishna, therefore it gets more satisfaction. At least we're directed towards Krishna instead of away from Krishna. So simply being directed towards Krishna, that itself is going in the right direction, so that's good. They're exactly paired up in the same way. In other words, in the material world, there's also rasa. And everyone is looking for rasa, therefore they want to establish relationships in the material world. And why? To get some bliss. The only difference is that in the material world, the rasa, the impetus for the rasa is for one's enjoyment. And the rasa for Krishna is for his enjoyment. That's a little difference, but it's a big difference. And that means the difference between spiritual world and material world. Okay? So when it's only for Krishna and anya avilashita shunya, then it is, that's the spiritual rasa. And it's when it's for ourselves, we'll have the same elements as material rasa. So we'll have a sthayi bhava in a material relationship. We'll have the vibhavas necessary also. You can't have a relationship unless there's some qualities in the person of love. If there are no qualities, there's no love. So having certain qualities and form, etc., which establish the relationship. And anubhavas, you want to express it somehow. So how do you express in the material world? How would you express love? Cooking for somebody, giving gifts, saying nice things, doing different things, in different relationships, different types. In friendship, you do certain things to express friendship, and in conjugal relations, other things. So you have anubhavas to express that, and the other person appreciates, and then the love increases like that. And then sattvika bhavas in extreme situations, then you may go out of control also, fainting or whatever is there, crying, all these things.
The
faint. And they may even die after some time. They die as a result of that. Even they may just, out of separation, they just die. Also extreme states like that. That's also one of the Vyabhachari Bhavas, death or near-death symptoms. They died after he left his house, Ekat Chakra. So in the material world also, the same analysis is given. So in dramas, Sanskrit dramas, classical dramas, they want to, portray all the emotions. So they use this analysis of anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhachari bhava, vibhava, etc. Same thing. But it's all material. They're portraying material characters. So the same thing applies spiritually, but it's all for Krishna. And therefore, the result is different. Here we get ananda out of this. Get an end out of this. Material relation usually ends in tragedy. Yeah.
But if you analyze anything, even Western drama like Romeo and Juliet, then you'll find all of this there also. Yeah? Yeah? They'll have the Sattvika Bhavas and the Vyabhichari Bhavas and Anubhavas, etc. Yeah? Yeah? And that's what makes the relationship variegated. So spiritually also we have even the negative things in the spiritual world, just like in the material world, the Sattvika Bhavas will usually be caused by distress or crying and all this takes place, fainting, yeah? Out of a distressful situation. We also get that in the spiritual world. But there, it is not negative anymore. It looks negative, but it's not negative. It's also part of the bliss. So these arise often out of viparlamba, or separation from Krishna. But in the spiritual world, viparlamba is not considered negative. It's considered very high. In fact, it's considered higher than even meeting Krishna. Because the feeling of love is so intense there. So meeting Krishna and separation for Krishna are both there in the spiritual world, and it's both part of bliss. So in this way we get variety in the ananda and in the loving relationship. If you don't have these elements, there'd be no variety. There's no subject object, there's no variety, then we get Brahman. Huh? And if we have subject and object, but we don't have any udipana, nothing, no qualities, then again it's useless. So if we have individuals, then we'll get all these other anubhavas, vyabhichari bhavas, sattvika bhavas, and this also increases the love. When Krishna sees the gopis are fainting, crying, then he gets very moved. So there's always an interaction with these different elements, and this increases the love and the bliss. Okay, that's about it then. Any questions?